Why should I be staying here? Hi, Brother Ollie, Maria, it's a pleasure seeing you. Everybody here, it's a pleasure. The world we are living right now really needs candle. Take up your candles and light the world. What a beautiful song, beautifully put. Jesus says in the Bible, we are what? We are the light of the world. White light does. What light do? Tell me. Illuminate the darkness. Bring out the truth. Because if you hide behind the door in the dark, I couldn't recognize who you are. Even if you were my mother, you talk. Your voice is not enough. I need to have my eye straight on you. But without light, to me, there is no light. There is no life. Oh, I am so happy. God has brought you to this church and to sing that song today. May the Lord continue to bless you. Not only you, and all of you who always bless us with your beautiful voice. Thank you. Now, what would you like to talk about today? I'm open. Well, if it is my sermon, you don't want to talk about my sermon, honestly. No. Okay, what word? What would you like to talk about? I'm serious. I'm open. Tell me, you know me. When I say something, with God's grace, I do it. Nothing stopped me. Nothing. Tractor cannot stop me. Okay, I wouldn't do that to you. We are living in a world. We are living in the last days, the last moment of planet Earth. And this is very important for us to be here today, talking about what we are going to talk. Please bear with me. That's all I can say. Bear with me and pray for me. I'm asking you, please. Pray for me. Most of the time when we see a preacher, we think that that person is the bravest person in the world. It's not true. We think that that person is perfect. Not true. That person needs your love. That person needs your acceptance like everybody else. I am here in the name of the Lord. Please accept me for who I am, a child who wants to do the will of his father. This is why I'm here. This is me. This is a very important time for us Christians to be grounded solidly in our faith. This is a very important time for us Christians to be grounded in the Word. The world is chaos. There is nothing there for us anymore. Just like Rachel and Leah said to Jacob, there is nothing in our father's house for us anymore. So we might leave. But we see we cannot leave this world until Jesus gives us permission. Right? We cannot. He is in control. He is a big boss. We have to wait. This is a time for us to be more confident in the Lord. Where is your trust, my friend? Who do you trust? Who you can trust? No one else. Only Jesus. Who can satisfy your soul? Or what? Have you found satisfaction in your life? No, not yet. It will come. Be patient. Be faithful. Jesus will come for you. I would like to have a word of prayer with you, but I ask you to pray for me too. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, praise, glory, honor be to you and to you alone. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. It is so colorful outside. Father, you said, even if our sins are red like crimson, you will make us white as snow. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your life. Thank you for accepting us the way we are. And most of all, thank you for dying for us. As I'm about to share your word with your children, Father God, let it not be my word, but let it be yours. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please open your Bible to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. We start with verse 25. Matthew 7. We start with verse 25. When you're ready, say, God is good. All the time. Amen. Did you have breakfast this morning? You do? Oh, okay. That's good. Let's start with verse 24, please. Can somebody read for me?
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Okay, 25. Verse 25, please.
And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock.
26.
But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
Thank you so much. It says in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will like him unto a wise man, which built his house upon what? Upon the rock. Let's continue on. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The house not only fell, but it was a great fall. That means there was nothing left in that house. Why would you build your home in the sand? Let's say that when sin, you want to leave a castle for Elizabeth. And then you say, okay, let's go to the shore. Then you go. And you take your shovel, right? And you started to build that castle. All of a sudden, it starts to rain. What do you do? How do you protect your castle? Number one, You shouldn't be building a castle on the shore. Number two, you shouldn't bring your wife there too, because that was just supposed to be a secret. Number three, you know that. It's not going to stand. Sorry, I pick you, Winston. All right. God is giving us a lesson here. There are many stories in the Bible. Sometimes I ask myself, because I love to read the Bible. The Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy are two books that I read. But sometimes I stumble on things in the Bible, and I'm asking myself, what is that supposed to mean? What God wants to teach us in this thing here and there, you know, like this year. But it is the truth. It is the truth. We need to build our houses, our homes, on the rock, upon the rock. And what rock is this? Who's the rock? Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. We cannot trust man-made. We cannot trust men's thoughts. But when we trust Jesus, he will never fail you. What was the difference now between those two homes? They, both of them, I think, looks beautiful, right? They look beautiful on the outside. But what happened? The foundation, the structure, the base was not correct. Is it the same thing in our Christian life? When we are looking at the world, the beautiful building that the world has, and we said, I want to have it just like that. The minute we conceived that idea, our hearts is departed from the Lord. Because immediately you have seen something that satisfied your soul, and you want that something. That was the reason why I ask you, is anybody satisfied? Have you found anything yet that satisfied your soul? No. No. Anybody who says yes, he is a liar. But there is one person who walked on this earth who is willing, who is ready to satisfy you. As a matter of fact, any time that we think of Jesus, we feel whole, we feel complete, we feel more than satisfied. What was the difference again between those two houses? One was built on the rock, upon the rock of salvation, and the other one was built on the sand, man-made. But Jesus here, it says that everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice, not only hear these words, but put them into what? Practice. Be a doer. Not a hearer. Not a talker of the world. The word. Put it into practice. And what would happen? That person is wise. And that wise man or wise woman built his home on the rock. But he says also, everyone who hears my words and does not put them into practice is what? Is foolish. Is foolish. My friends, I would like to ask you this personal question. You don't have to answer. Upon whom is your house built? Or better yet, who is the builder of your house? As I said, you don't have to answer because it's a personal question. But one thing I would like to tell you, if your house has not been built by Jesus, it will crumble. Your only safety is to go to Jesus. Do we need Jesus? We need Jesus more than ever. We do. Don't build in the sand. It's not going to go far with you. This time we are living here in this world is a time of great anxiety. People are anxious. People are confused. When the children are home, mom and dad say something. And when they go to school, or when they go to another house, to their neighbors, they hear something else. They come back home, mom, didn't you say this and that and that? Yes, that's what I said. But you know, Margarita's mom say, no, it's not that way. Build your home upon the rock of salvation. We are living in a testing time. We have been tested from every corner of our lives. Things are going from wrong to worse, from bad to worst. But Jesus has a word for us this noon. Jesus, who never failed, he told us, be patient. Don't get discouraged. Jesus is telling each one of us here, I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you, especially for each one of you who are sitting here. Jesus said, I have a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, a plan to give you eternal life, a plan to give you a house in the city of Zion. Not here in New Jersey, not in Clifton. Apostle Paul, in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please, verse 2 and 3. Can somebody read it? Verses 2 and 3. The time of I accepted you, for I said, I have heard you in the time of accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepting time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, what do you say for that, church? When you say, behold, what does that mean? It's not to look on the back. If somebody said to you, behold this over there, behold Galvin over there, how would you do? How would you do that? Yes. Stare at him, right? Gaze at him. But this is exactly what God wants us to do. To gaze, to stare at him, at God. Look at him. Behold, today is the day of salvation. I have heard you. Come to me. There is no way that we can hide. There is no way we can go away from Christ. He will find us. Because he wants us to have our eyes fixed on him, not in the world, not in mom and dad, not in your friend, but gaze at Jesus. Look, behold God. Then he says here, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. What is the Bible is talking about? Do you have a ministry? Who has a ministry here? Let me see your hand. Oh, okay. No wonder. Your ministry wouldn't be blamed. Who can blame your ministry? You are a minister of the Lord. You have all your informations. You have all your plan from the Lord. So who can blame the Lord? Can somebody blame the Lord? Oh, yes. Do you know, you don't know anybody who has tried that before? Long, long, long ago? Oh, yes. The devil tried to blame God. Whatever God says, he had another encounter for it. God says, thou shalt not. He said, yes, you should. You should. Don't let in your ministry, whatever you are doing, at home, take care of your family. You are working in a school, take care of children. Wherever you are, God placed you there to work for him and for him alone. With him and with him alone. No compromise. No compromise. This world can do away with this body, but not with what you have inside, where Jesus resides. Jesus said that, but in all the things, approving ourselves as the minister of God, in much, what? In much patience. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting. God put everything in line for us. We don't have to go through this by ourselves because he called you his minister. I am God's minister. And I know what God has asked of me. And I cannot fathom to come here and to give you less. Wherever I go, I am the light of the world. I cannot be hidden. Jesus gave me a mission to do. As long as I stay close to him, I would never falter. But the minute I take my eyes off Jesus, put it on myself, or put it on somebody else, something else, there is no way I can achieve God's will. In the time of old time, ancient time, if I may say, God never do anything without telling his prophets. God always sends his prophet to tell his children, this is the way, walk in it. This is not the way, don't walk in it. Am I right? Yes. We know of many, many prophets in the Bible. Can you name one? Can you name one prophet? We had Moses, you're right. And after Moses, we have one that everybody loves. The light guy, yes. The light guy. The raining guy. Elijah? Yeah. No, Noah was the flood guy, right? He was the flood guy. Elijah. Yes. In the time of Elijah, we know the story better than me myself, right? How the Israelites, they were off God's will. They wanted to do everything their ways. Remember that? At the time, Elijah was the prophet. They had how many prophets of Baal? 500, right? I think 500. 400. Then, how many priests of Baal that they had? How many priests of Baal? 450. That was 850. How many priests of God were there? Only Elijah. Only one man stood for the Lord. Are you an Elijah? Are you? When the world is in chaos, are you willing to stand and to say, in the name of the Lord, I am asking you a question? If God is God, why don't you serve him? But if Baal is the Lord, serve Baal. Where are the Elijahs today? Where are the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego today? Where are they? Do we have one here? Where are they? All of you are Shadrach. All of you are Elijahs. All of you are Meshach and Abednego. Keep your lamps burning. Pick up your light and enlighten the world. Because if we, Christian, do not stand for the truth will stand for us. God has put us there for something special. God has a special work for us to do. The same way Elijah had a work to do in his time. Let us turn, please, to the book of, I'm going to tell you right now, to the book of 2 Corinthians. Again, we are going to go there, but this time we are going to read the third and the fourth and the fifth verses. 2 Corinthians 6, please. In stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watchings and fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. How do we stand? On God's word or on man's word? I would suggest that we stand on God's word. Because the same God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same God is here to deliver you from any adversity in life, from any encounter you can have, whether with the lion in the den or with the fire in the furnace. God is there for you, my friend. And he wants you to know, with him, everything is possible. Stop looking left and right. He has given you the direction. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold, I'm telling you, I have everything ready for you. God is telling the Israelites, I am ready to answer you. God is telling them, come to me just as you are. No question asked. Have you ever heard this phrase? Or anybody who has information on this book, please come and bring it here or bring it to the police. No question asked. God was, he is, he will always be your loving Heavenly Father. Listen to what he says to you in Jeremiah chapter 31st. Verses 3 and 4. Please, somebody help me. Jeremiah 31, 3 and 4. Find it?
The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. Virgin of Israel, you shall again be adorned with your tambourines, shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice.
Okay. Now God is talking to whom? To us. He said, Virgin of Israel. He is talking to you. He's talking to me. And what did he say, Jimmy? What God is saying to us? He loves you with an everlasting love. What does everlasting mean? You know, but please tell me. Never ended. It was, it is, it will be. That's what everlasting. God is pleading with man. Please accept my love. come unto me. The prodigal son, what did he do? He tried to write his thesis to bring to his father. Was the father care for that? No. All he cared is about his son. His son that was lost. He wanted to see his son. It doesn't matter how lost we are. You are a criminal. Although God's command said, thou shalt not kill. But God has a place for you in his kingdom. You are an homosexual. Although God says that, don't do it. He has a place for you in his kingdom. You are a liar. He has a place for you in his kingdom. Whatever your practice is, once you close your hand, you said, Lord, I give my life to you. Everything is settled. God is merciful. His mercy endures forever, not for a moment. You know, when God, before God created man, I'm pretty sure he thought of it. But in his mind, God knows everything. But God says, let me have a backup plan. Do you understand my French? A backup plan. Is anybody here as backup plans? Do we? No? Okay. The backup plan was, if we sin, he will send his son to save us, to rescue us. It was before he created us. But when God created man, when he committed to created man, do you think he had a backup plan? No, he didn't. He didn't. Now, man is here. He is so in love with us. Jeremiah 31st, verses 3 and 4. Now, before man came, he needed a backup plan because he doesn't want to lose us. God simply cannot lose us. God is always in the looking out for us. And what are we doing? We go our separate ways. We do what we want to do. But where God is, the same place where we left him, he's always there waiting on us, waiting for us, and to come back and to get us. Just like Elijah, just like Moses, just like John the Baptist, they had a mission. They had a work to accomplish for the Lord. Their mission was to prepare the world. John the Baptist prepared the world before Jesus came. Elijah prepared the world, tell the people that Jesus is coming. We who are sitting here today, do we have a mission? Do we have a message to give to the world? Yes, we have a message to give to the world. And that message is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 6 to 12. We are not going to go through it. This is the homework you have to do at home. As we said before, we need to firmly take our Bible for real and for serious. Because there is nowhere in the world we can find what is it in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is special. The Bible has no comparison. What is in there was for us and for our children. I'm praying that you will go home, not only to study the Bible for yourself, But invite other people. Invite other Christians to come. The time is coming when we will not be able to come and sit in this beautiful place anymore. We need to build our house right now. We need to start the building. I know God is taking care of everything. He doesn't leave anything in our account to do. But we have our part. We have our part. By any means, you are here. If you want to, you have gone away from the Lord. You want to come back to God. My friend, I'm telling you, now is the time. Don't look at the papers. Listen. Now is the time to come back to God. He is waiting with an open arms, as we just sing in the song, 296. Open wide your arms of love. God is standing there, waiting there for you. In your life, if you had living a life that you know, which is contrary to God's love, now this is the time. This is the time to come. I don't mean to make an appeal, but I'm just asking you. Jesus made so many steps for us already. Please, come and accept the grace. Don't feel so comfortable sitting here. It's probably the last time you hear that sermon. It's probably the last time you are sitting here the way you are sitting here. I considered myself a John the Baptist. I am not ashamed. I am not afraid to calling you. Make a move to come. To come. Come to Jesus. It is time. You can never be too close to Christ. Perhaps you have been living your life in a holding pattern, not sure if you want to give your life to Christ. This is the time. Come. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is knocking at your door right now. Don't be bashful. Don't be ashamed. We all are brothers and sisters here. Don't be afraid. This is the time. Come. The Lord is waiting for you with his open arms. Please, come. Too many of us created a backup plan. Too many of us are listening to things that my grandmother saved me. Too many of us. And that goes to our children also. The youth of today, the world needs to tell them that. They will be accountable for their lives. When they were little, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, they were accountable to us. We were accountable for them. But since they were 10 years old going up, they are responsible for their acts before the Lord. They need to know they are branch, tree branches, and God is expecting fruits from them. They need to know the health, the intellect. They need to know all that they have acquired on earth. It's not theirs. It's the Lord. The Lord had blessed them. When the Lord bless you, you return the blessing. We have so many youth in here, and I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for the work that they are doing. Not only, but there are many people who are dedicated to them. But you know, we have many people who are dedicated to them. But the thanks goes to them because they accepted. They accepted what we are giving to them. When they are good, love them. When they are bad, love them more. Love them more. When they are bad, we think that they are bad. They are crying for something that the world cannot give them. When they have come home and you know, acted funny, don't yell at them. Don't send them to their room. Take them by the hands. Sit down with them and say, let us talk. I'm your father. I'm your mother. But I am your best friend after Jesus. Let us talk. And like parents who are raising teenagers, be friendly with them. Because sometimes the other parents know better about your child than you. You need an island to raise one child. Do you think the sea is enough to raise all the youth that we have here? That means every youth, whether you are a mother or a father, each one of them belongs to you too. When you see Jack, think that Joseph is here, and that's you, that's yours. I am going to ask the praise team to sing a song for us. And while they are singing, if the Lord impress into your heart to come forward, please do. Because today is the day. Now is the time. It's not going to be another day. Yes. You will hear, you've been hearing those words year after year, month after month. But today is the day where Jesus wants for you to give up your whole life to him. He loves you. He wants you to be his. You are his by creation. You belong to him by redemption. Jesus is calling on you. Come to Jesus now. As I said before, you can never, never too close to God. And the closer you come to God, the more you know yourself. Because when we hold on ourselves, we don't know us. But the closer we come to others, this is the closer, the more we know ourselves. Now is the time. Now is the time to bring your heart and give it to Jesus. Now is the time to ask, Lord, what shall I do? Now is the time to take the hands of your brothers, the hands of your sister, and come. Come and tell Jesus, I love you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Christian, the Spirit and the bride says, come. Jesus says, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He is waiting for you. Come to Jesus. He loves you. He gave his life for you. Come out.